This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So wat toe ek vir ons, toe ek gebid het oor vanoggend en wat om te deel met julle, of wat die Here vir ons het, at least, het ek gery en ek het hierdie beeld of 'n prentjie gesien van 'n persoon wat in die voet van 'n kruis sit. Is 'n groot houtkruis en hy is besig om hierdie kruis te omhels. En daar het onmiddellik iets in my hart opgekom toe ek het gesien het, want dit kan verskeie goed beteken, maar wat ek gevoel het die Here ons na toe lei vir nou, vir vandag. Maar miskien net so 'n trekkie terug oor convergence en wat die Here daar gedeel het rondom die harvest, that the Lord is talking to about us to the harvest and opening our ears and opening our eyes to see what's truly going on and towards the lost, to turn our hearts towards the lost. En hy praat met ons oor send ones al vir, is al lank, ons het al banners geprint en goed, so dit kom al 'n tydjie aan. En dis so cool toe dit uitkom van convergence dat die Here is the harvest, the sound of the harvest. En ons het begin bid oor, hy sê he's going to drive out, cast out the laborers into his harvest field. En ons moet daar so gaan waarde daarin, net om te besef dat it is his harvest field. En ons is die laborers in die harvest field. Maar soos wat hy ons voorberei en om ons te stuur as sy disciples in hierdie wêreld in, of in hierdie harvest, hierdie oes in, en om ons vissers van mense te maak, wil ek gou vinnig kyk na 'n skrif in Matteus 4 vers 8 tot 20. Gaan uit die ESV lees, en dit is die plek waar hy vir Petrus en Andreas geroep het om hom te volg. So I want to start there this morning. Ek weet jy, ek gaan Engels of Afrikaans praat, so die mekaar, so jy maar so volg waar jy kan. So vers 18 sê, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. So, die call het uitgegaan, die Here het geroep vir Andrew en Peter. He said, follow me. So follow me means become my disciple. And then he goes on to say, and I will make you fishers of men. And one of my good friends, Andre Buckles, Basson, het een oggend hiervoor gedeel. So hier's twee preke op 'n Sondag. Een is hier oggend voor die tyd, as ons in so klein groepie staan, en die tweede een is waar jy nou sit. So daar kom baie keer nuggets uit wat jy mis. So ek wil julle aanmoedig om daai een ook by te woon. So op daai daai oggend, toe lees hy hierdie versie en hy sê daai stukkie wat sê, and I will make you fishers of men. En ons besef dat dit is die Here wat sê, I, Jesus, will make you into a fisher of men. Ek hoef myself te probeer 'n visserman van mense maak nie. My deel in hierdie vergelyking is, ek moet hom volg. As soos wat ons Jesus volg, as we follow him, he will make us into fishers of men. En dis die belangrike ding, so dit is die deel, dis ons deel in die vergelyking, is om Jesus te volg. En vanoggend wil ek praat daaroor, hoe lyk dit om Jesus te volg? En dis hier waar ek terugkom na my, die beeld of die prentjie wat ek gesien het, en daai prentjie waar die persoon by die voet van die kruis sit en die kruis omhels, groot houtkruis. The Engelse woord is embrace. And it is to accept willingly and enthusiastically. Or to hug. But to accept willingly and enthusiastically. So the scripture that came to me was, or is one that's found in three of the Gospels. And I want to look at two of them. But I'm going to start at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 38. So jy is welkom om op die bord te volg of om jy eie vertalings of Bybels te volg. As Jesus wat praat, hy sê, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. En daai eerste stukkie in vers 37, dit mag vir ons moeilik lyk of dit mag hard klink, maar wat die Here daar sê is dat hy is die een wat sentraal wil staan in ons lewe. Ons liefde en ons verhouding met hom moet bokant elke ander menslike verhouding wees in hierdie wêreld. En hy sny diep tot ma en pa en selfs kind. En ek het besef dat dit nogals moeiliker geraak as jy 'n kind kry. Maar dit is wat hy van ons vereis. Hy soek daai tipe liefde. Hy soek daai mate van intimiteit met hom. En dan sê hy, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So dit is die eerste keer wat hy praat oor die kruis, om jou kruis op te tel. To pick or take up your cross. En die tweede keer wat hy daaroor praat is in so paar hoofstukke later, Matteus 16, so vers 24 en 25. Dan sê Jesus, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So wat se stukkie het hier bygekom? Anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. En dan vers 25. So die een waar ek wil gaan parkeer vir die oggend, is die een wat dieselfde sê, daar kom nog 'n stukkie by. Dis in Lukas 9. Vers 23 tot 24. So as jy een wil oophou, is dit die een wat jy kan oophou, maar ons gaan dit op die bord hê. Julle nog reg, is julle met my? Volg julle. Okay. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Soos wat ons reeds bevestig het, dat wanneer Jesus sê, follow me, dan beteken het, daar's 'n call, daar's 'n uitnodiging, om sy disipel te wees. En, het sê actually, if anyone, so, hy praat nie net met die disipels daar nie, die uitnodiging word gerig aan almal, wat daar is, en ons ook nou. So dit word heeltemal oopgemaak. Het sê, as jy die behoefte of die begeerte het, if you have the desire to follow me, nou if, as ons if lees, wat beteken dit? Daar is voorwaardes gekoppel aan. Dis, it's conditional. If we see if in the Bible, it means that there will be conditions. And the conditions in this case is, if we want to follow him, in other words, if we want to be a disciple, there are two conditions. One is deny himself or yourself, and the second one is take up your cross. Right, and follow me. So it's something that we do voluntarily. It's not something that's forced upon us. It's 'n keuse wat ons kan uitoefen. It's 'n uitnodiging. Jy hoef nie dit te doen nie, maar as jy die begeerte het of die behoefte het, dan is daar twee voorwaardes. Een is deny yourself, die tweede een is take up your cross. En ek onthou, ek het een keer, toe ek deur hierdie skrif lees, en toe onthou ek het een keer met een van my vriende, sommer koffie gedrink en lunch gehad, en hy is ook in die ministry, manne, in een, nie in die vallei of hier rond nie, en ek, ons chat sommer met mekaar, as regtig lief vir die Here, ek leer baie by my, is lief vir mense ook, en ons gesels maar wat die Here doen in ons, my lewe, by ons as 'n gemeente, en by hulle, en so aan, en ek kon nie onthou hoe ons by hierdie uitgekom het, maar dit gaan oor denying self, dit gaan oor taking up your cross, en in 'n oomblik sê hy vir my, maar hoe kan ons doen wat die Here van ons vra, as ons dood is in onsself? En sy antwoord het my laat besef dat hy verstaan nie lekker wat daai skrif beteken nie. Dit het 'n ander betekenis as dit. En daarom wil ek vandag stadig gaan, want ons wil dit uit mekaar uittrek, laat ons kan verstaan wat dit beteken, want dit is nogals groot. Ons praat oor being sent ones, ultimately, oor being a disciple to go to the nations, om in die harvest field ingestuur te word. Dit is great, maar wat beteken dit dan om 'n disciple te wees? Om 'n volgeling van Jesus te wees? Wat is die vereistes daaraan verbonde? En ons het nou gelees, daar is twee vereistes daaraan verbonde wat ons nou gaan gesels oor. So, denying self, deny means, beteken het om nee te sê. It says, it's no, but when we read denying self, I thought of it as being, as denying some things. I'm not allowed to do this or that, or not allowed, or disallowed some sort of a pleasure or something. And even though that may be part of what he's saying here, that is not the whole truth. So in the Greek, the term is baie wyer, is baie meer omvattend. It says your whole self, met ander woorde, it's your desires and your emotions and your will. It includes everything of that. So dit is heeltemal omvattend. Alles van wie jy is. Nie net wat ek doen of nie mag doen of so nie. Dit kan 'n komponent wees, maar dis nie heeltemal dit nie. Dis nie alles nie. En wat ek ook al agtergekom het, ek dink wat hy bedoel het in daai oomblik was ook dat it's not denying your personality. There's a way that God wired you to think and to operate and to be unique to who you are. And given there's some sort of a bit of immature areas that we need to grow in, but ultimately you have your own personality. Miskien is jy extrovert of introvert, en ons vanoggend gepraat oor immergroen. So dit gaan nie net oor die boompies nie, is belangrik, maar ek het al so 'n overspil gekry van die boompies, en hulle het my ook al 'n boompie gemaak, en so ek weet so 'n bietjie rondom die boompies, en ek is 'n introvert, en my vrou hou van activities byvoorbeeld. Sy wil heeltyd activities doen, en ek se huisvlieg, verstaan, so ek love die huis, ek wil al by die huis bly, is my lekker daar, so in daai sens, is dit wat die Here my gemaak het, maar ek moet ook aanpas, is my vrou, en dis wat hy baie keer doen, dat hy pair hierdie kontras persoonlikhede met mekaar, so dat ons kan leer ook om onsself neer te lê in daai opsig, maar daar's 'n komponent wat die Here goed gemaak het, wat ons anders te maak, 'n manier hoe ons dink. En so in essence, denying self means to not live for yourself any longer, anymore. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he, that's Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So no longer live for themselves. So in saying that, it means that there is a possibility that we can live for ourselves. And he's prompting us to no longer live for ourselves. That is Paul. So self druk hom gewoonlik uit in die volgende manier. hoe jy hom identifiseer. Het maak alles uit van wie jy is, hoe jy wil, jou denke, jou emoties, dit omsluit alles, maar it expresses itself normally like this. I want and I think and I feel and, maar ek voel net die liefie, ek voel net dat ek voel so, en ek voel net, jy is verkeerd hier so, of ek voel, ek wil graag dit hê, it's my desires, it's my dreams, it's my plans, it's, that has to do with self. Self comprises of that. And it's something, what we need to be careful, I think Ornette Becker mentioned as well, is that the world is also trying to disciple us. The world is, the scripture says that the world is, the world do not conform to the patterns of the world. And this is, I think one of the translations says it's like a mold, to an ice bucket of energy. But the world has a mold and it wants us to conform to that mold. It wants to pour us into that mold, to become like that mold. And what the world is saying is that self is incredibly important. Everything, it's about you. How do you feel? What's your rights or what do you want? Because you are the one who is in control of your life. Jy is die een aan die stuur van jou lewe. Dis belangrik wat jy wil hê. Want jy wil nie meer die ou pan hê nie. Jy soek eintlik hierdie nuwe pan. Hierdie beter pan. Ek maak het baie oppervlakkig in daai sens. Maar die wêreld skep die ding dat is belangrik om te kry wat jy wil hê in die lewe. En as jy nie dit doen nie, of nie dit het nie, dan moet jy 'n plan maak om dit te kry, want jy verdien het. So shampoo advertensies of wat se goed, ek weet nie lekker meer nie, maar daai goed soos jy verdien het. Wat sê jy? You worth it, jy is worth it. Hierdie shampoo is joune. Jou hare moet hierdie shampoo hê. En but the world also asks the question, what is in it for me? What can I gain from this? And that, I think there's a part of us, as baie keer onbewustelik, but we approach things in that way. And we think, what can I gain from this? What is in it for me? Ons kom baie keer na die gospel toe, soos dit kom, en ons sê, wat is in het vir my? Wat kry ek uit dit? Wat kan die Here vir my doen? Wat bied die Here vir my? And currently, it's very, very true that there is a self-serving gospel being preached a lot. That it's all about you. And there's something we need to be careful of that. There's a worldliness that I've There's a persepsie, no? Dis 'n bril wat jy aansit. Dis 'n manier hoe jy kyk na goed is, maar jy kom dit agter hier until the word of the Lord comes and it exposes lies. That is why we are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit and upon the word of God, because without that we cannot understand truth. And that brings us to that place of humility, knowing that we cannot see truth unless God reveals it to us. That's a great place to be. To say, Lord, if you don't open up truth, I cannot see it. I cannot understand. But he wants to show us the truth, because the truth will set us free. So he wants to bring us to that point, but it's a place of dependency upon God. We have to go to him. It's near Penmaat, verstaan? It's near a long-distance relationship. It's something that in communing with God, he breaks open truths and his word cuts through our heart to expose. It shows the intentions and the motives of our hearts. Because we are biased. But God's word is truth, and it's a sword, and it cuts. It brings the visions. But self-denial of denying self means to, or it says, it communicates that it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I feel. And that includes all the areas of our lives. It's not just one area. It goes through financial areas. It's not about me, what I want, what I feel. It goes through relational areas. It goes through the career that we are in or maybe want to go in. everything. And the bottom line is this, that myself and you guys, we are not our own. Ons is nie ons eie nie. We have been bought at a price. We've been bought a very expensive price. And that's why Corinthians, Paul writes, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and Jesus died for all, that those who live now should no longer live for themselves. No longer live for themselves, but for Him. Dit bring my to the baie punt met vra die vraag, onmiddellik as jy dit lees, but lewe ek bietjie vir myself, soms, sekere areas. En dit bring my op baie punt wat sê, is ek, wie's in beheer van my lewe? Wie's in beheer van jou lewe, van julle lewens? Wie's in beheer van jou lewe? And dying to self has this thing of giving up control in your life. It's a difficult thing to give up control. And it's not saying no to stuff only. It's a deliberate, willful surrender of one's life. A deliberate, willful surrender of your life. Surrendering to God and His will and His ways. A denying personal control. It's an English word that says to relinquish control. It means to voluntarily give up something. And this is, the call comes from Jesus to follow Him, but He gives the conditions if you want to follow Him. So it's a choice that we make. It doesn't force it down upon us, but we need to understand if we want to follow Him, then we need to fulfill that conditions. So we have the choice. It's voluntarily. And it touches many sides, but one side it touches is the side of lordship. And Jesus is Lord and Savior. But currently, there's a big focus on Savior, the Savior part. And that is absolutely true. He saves us and He sets us free. Hy is ons verlosser, hy is ons saligmaker. But He is Lord as well. And the lordship means to govern over. He governs over. He is supreme. And that's a side, at least, that I struggle with many times. That to understand that He is Lord. Beteken dat jy het nie meer 'n sê nie. Ons wil mos baie keer sê, jy sê nie vir my nie. Maar dan het jy nie meer sê nie. Dan kan Jesus en die Heilige Gees vir jou sê. Want jy is mos gekoop met 'n prys. Jy is nie meer jou eie nie. Jy lewe mos nie meer vir jouself nie. En ek dink dis wat Connie Becker laas week, hy het baie goed gesê, daar is 10 preke in 1, maar onder andere beteken dit ook dit, of wat hy wou oorbring, is dat ons sê soms goed, maar ons besef nie eintlik wat ons sê nie. Yes Lord, ek lewe nie vir myself, ek lewe nou net vir U, en dan lewe ons eintlik maar net meeste van die tyd vir onsself. It's not to condemn, hey, this morning, but we need to face facts many times. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Amen. So we want to be changed. We want to be conformed into the image of Christ. So lordship is one angle it touches. And the second thing, the obvious thing is it's obedience. To deny self. It's not just saying no to things. It's also saying yes to Jesus and to what the Holy Spirit is imprompting on your heart in a oomblik of it groot goeders is in terme van directional goed in jou lewe of net klein goed in 'n oomblik in 'n dag. Sê vir daai persoon jammer jy oor die manier hoe jy nou met hom gepraat het was regtig disrespekvol geweest. So in those moments to say yes to what Jesus is saying. Dis klein goed ook, ons wil, ek praat myself, wil baie keer dit groot maak, verstaan, solank ek my groot goed is, in lyn het met die Here se wil, dan is ek okay. En dis ook, dis een stap, maar it's the day to day, it's the moment to moment things where I need to do that. And so it's obedience to Jesus, and we've spoke about obedience a lot. I mean, we had like a 2-month session on obedience, and it was good. Amen? I think it's something that we didn't quite understand until that point. And I think there's a lot to understand, or a lot of revelation still to be unlocked for us in that area. But at least God showed us a lot of things about obedience and what should be the motive of obeying Him. It's a place where we love Him, so it's expression of our love towards Him. But the second condition, coming back to the scripture, to take up his cross daily and follow me. So this is the point where I saw, well, the vision that I saw, and taking up our cross. And sometimes I hear people say that you have some sort of a illness or a pain or a marriage problem or a financial problem, and that is the cross that they should bear. And well, this something might be in it, but it's not the cross that he's referring to in this particular verse. The cross here that we should pick up is a cross that is a symbol of something. What is the symbol? Yes. Say that again. God, Niels' poem, Niels, he had Aarons said that there was a missionary Aarons somewhere wat hy het die hele tyd teruggeskryf na sy, ek weet nie of dit sy pa was en of dit sy mentor was of wie dit was, maar hy skryf briewe en hy moan net die hele tyd oor alles. Hy moan taf in die missionveld en mense is harde grond en whatever. En sy, en dan skryf die ou net vir hom terug, heel DQ. Die quietly. Die quietly. And sometimes, ja, so gaan ons maar go down fighting, eh? But the cross is the symbol of death. It means to die to self. So if we say deny yourself is the first step, the second one goes to the next level. It says there's no way back. So in those times, if you had a cross, you're going one direction, you're not coming back. It's death. It's finish. And there is this power that resists and opposes and prevents us to pick up our cross. And that power we've been speaking about. It is self. Self does not want to pick up the cross and die to his own plans and his own desires and his own dream, ways, will. Hy wil dit doen nie. Hy wil dit optel nie. Dit is interessant, want die eerste verwysing in Matteus het hy net gesê, take up your cross. Maar die tweede keer, toe hy daaroor praat, is hy, deny yourself and take up your cross. Met ander woorde, say no to self, because self wil hy die kruis optel. And then you go further and you take up that cross. En iemand ergens het dit so verduidelik, en ek dink is baie akkuraat, is baie mooi manier om te dink daaroor, of nie mooi nie, is 'n akkurate manier. It says that the cross is the place where my will and God's will cross. The place where my will and God's will cross. It is the place of execution of my will. And I think it's Wesley wat dit so verduidelik het. It says that there's a path. Think of the will of God as a path that leads directly to God. So, will of God is a path that leads to God. At some stage, one stage, the will of man's path and the path of God ran parallel to each other. Maar na die val het daar 'n ander pad gekom. En die pad is nie net 'n ander pad nie, dis een wat teenstrydig is met die wil van God. And as you cannot walk in both paths at the same time, you cannot walk in the will of man and the will of God at the same time. So if you quit one or deny one, you inevitably say yes to the other one. So as ek my eie wil kies en my eie weer, my eie planne, my eie drome, dis okay, maar wat ek doen is ek sê nee vir God by default. As ek ja sê vir hom en sy wil, sy plan, dan sê ek nee vir my eie goed. It's not the best of both worlds, soos daai broodjie Albany uitgebring het, nie? Wat ek baie bevraagteken, maar spark daai een daar. So, at times where our will and God's will, ons paadjie is dieselfde. Ek dink so. Ek dink when the renewal of the mind starts to happen, his desires becomes our desires. So ek dink daar's 'n mate van wanneer ons wel in daai binne dieselfde pad is, maar dan wil ek teruggaan na die eerste een toe en sê die oomblik wanneer jy daai kruispad vind of daai kruisiging vind waar jou wil en God se wil kruis, dan moet dit die plek word waar jy jou kruis optel en sê, "Jo, Lord, I really don't want to do this." Or, en dit is ek sê, dit kan klein goed wees. Ek dink my suster hulle in Taiwan is, dit was 'n kruispad vir hulle gewees. Dit was 'n plek waar jou wil loop hier en God se loop so. En jy kom op daai punt en nou moet jy kies op watse pad klim. Jy het 'n keuse, hy forceer jou definitief nie, maar jy moet kies. Jy kan nie albei nou loop nie. En dis vir sulke goed, maar dis ook vir die dag tot dag goed. Net vir, soos ek gesê het, sê jammer vir daai persoon, gaan praat met hierdie persoon. Jo, jy, dis embarrassing of ek gaan verkeerd wees of ek gaan fail of whatever alles vir jou wil sê dat jy nie dit wil doen nie, maar dis die plek waar of crucifixion. That's the place where you need to crucify your will and what you want in that moment. And to say no to self, but yes to God. And I'm almost done. So the last bit just says that we need to take up our cross daily. So as I explained right now, that we say yes to God as our Savior and we believe Him and we trust Him for salvation once and it's done. And we believe that. But taking up our cross is a daily thing. That's why it says daily, because following Jesus day to day, it's a daily thing. It's something that we choose moment by moment sometimes. It says that the sons of God will be led by the Spirit of God. He will lead us, but we have a choice. We don't have to follow Him. We can follow our own ways if we want to, do our own thing. There's no pressure, but we have to make that choice moment by moment. And it's not always difficult. Sometimes most of the times, it's actually, after you've done that, there's a sense of joy, and something that comes to you that you didn't expect sometimes, but it becomes a way of life. As iets wat ons moet kies, but we need to make it a way of life by continually following the Lord in His ways and His teachings in Scripture, but as the Holy Spirit leads us also in day-to-day things, as we go about our business. And that we will come to understand that the Scripture says in 1 John 5, 3, says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome. And I think it becomes a burden when we try to execute what He is asking us on our own steam and our own ability. Then strive kicks in, and then it's really hard. But that we will come to know that if He calls us to do something, He has made provision. There's a grace which is an empowerment, the enablement for us to walk in that thing. But sometimes we try still and figure it out on our own and we try to strive it through. But that this one was beteken moeg raak. My eie lewe ook. And then I realize sometimes I've put burdens, or if somebody, maybe the enemy or myself, put burdens on my shoulders that I'm not supposed to carry. Because Jesus says, yes, we will have to carry something, but it's going to be light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we can learn from Jesus that he exercised the self-denial and he exercised taking up his cross. He said that multiple times, but I want to read John 6:18. It says, for I have come down, that's Jesus now, from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. We read over that, but it boils down that Jesus also had a will. But he chose the Father's will. He chose to do what the Father said he must do. It wasn't just bound to that will. He had to exercise the choice. Then we see the last one, you will know, in the tuin, wat hy vir die Here gevra het, Here, kan hierdie beker net so moontlikheid is, kan hy verby my beweeg, Here? En dan sê hy, na dit wat? Ja, nie my wil nie, maar u wil dat dit geskied. En wat het God gedoen? Hy het stil gebly. Daar was hy 'n ander manier. Dit was hy, it was the way, it's only way for us. Maar dit was die punt, as ek daaraan dink, amper van daai sy wil en God se wil, dit het op daai oomblik het dit gekruis. En he took up his cross, actually I think before he took the physical cross. We just crucified his own will in that moment and said, yeah, okay, Lord, then I'm going for the real deal. And he took the final cross. And we've spent a lot of time on verse 23 because that is what I wanted to convey this morning. But 24 is also part of it. And it says, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And this is where we need the Lord to continually open our eyes and give us an eternal perspective. And this is something that Heinrich Titus also mentioned in Convergence and Cornei Becker as well. Last week het hy ook gesê, waar hy kon in Vrydag aand daar by Convergence het hy gepraat oor dit en hy het hier by ons ook gepraat oor daai mentor van hom, wat gesê het oor die graf staan. Dit is baie odd, maar is baie effektief. En dan haal hy aan wat David geskryf het, sê Lord teach me to number my days, want dis nog 'n ding wat die wêreld vir ons wil sê, so almal soos vir strys net, jy gaan dood gaan, nee, moenie dit sê nie, nie maar, so hoop maar net, almal gaan daagliks, daar gaan mense dood, maar joh, ene van die rede, denk jy net, is nog ver, en Reinhard Bonke het gesê, dat die dood is nie 'n eindpunt nie, het loop langs jou, so it's not reaching a point, it's just stepping over a point, to the left or to the right. It's near Licky. But we need that eternal perspective, eh? That we understand that we are not our own. We do not live for ourselves. We've been bought at a price and we live no longer for ourselves, but for Jesus. And that when we say no to ourselves and our own will and our own plans and our own desires, our own dreams, we say yes to God's and we find life, we find eternal life, but we have a choice and we can choose to say no to those things and choose our own things to build our own kingdom. My kingdom come, my will be done on this earth. And as well, all good and well, you can do that, but know that you will lose life, eternal life that is. And Jesus, like I've read, has gone before us and he's opened up the way for us to follow. He's the shepherd. He will lead us and he has gone before us so that we can follow in that way. And soos wat ek praat, besef ons dat dit lyk onmoontlik. Want self het hom so ingewurm in elke area van jou lewe. Mens dink net, hoe raak jy ontslaa van dit? And that's where we come to the place of humility. Where we say, Yo Lord, this is not possible in my own strength, my own ability. He will not ask us, listen, he will not ask me and you something wat onmoontlik is. wat jy nie kan doen nie. We need to believe. If he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, that it is possible. Hy vind geen vreugde daarin om ons goed te vra om te doen en dan kan ons dit nie doen nie. Wat se pa hierso vra vir jou kind, jy weet daar's geen manier dat hy kan doen nie, so jy wil net sien hoe hy fail. Dis belaglik. Neither does he. But if we try to do it in our own strength, our own ability, we will fail in epic proportions and we will get frustrated. So this morning, I was full of some of the band members maybe who can come to the stand behind your instruments. It'd be great. But maybe you can stand with me. I'm closing now. Then it will help me to close. I love Andrew Murray. It's like, don't quote me, but it's almost like reading the Bible. It's so condensed. You read two pages at a time and you pray for interpretation. But Andrew Murray said that sin can't cast out sin. In other words, that we are born in sin and we cannot cast it out ourselves. We need to look somewhere else. We need to look to the one who has no sin. We need to look to Jesus if we want to get free from this. And I, this morning, even if the enemy tries to condemn you, know the Lord does not condemn you. The Holy Spirit convicts you and me. And if we are talking about the harvest, this will be pivotal in becoming the laborers. Because if we want to follow our own wills and ways, we will never end up in the harvest field. We will always try and do our own things. But he's sending us to the harvest field. And this will be very important for us. There will be times to deny yourself, say no to certain things. There will be times to take up your cross and say, yes, this is the place where my will, God's will crosses. This is the place of execution for my will. But Jesus emptied himself. And the world says to us, it puts self on a pedestal and says self is the most important. And we need to say like John the Baptist said, Lord, let me, I, decrease and he must increase. Decrease, self must decrease and he must increase. That'll bring us and give us a grace this morning to surrender and to give up, to relinquish control, om beheer van ons lewe op te gee. Jesus take the wheel, sê Colin gewoonlik. En het klink eenvoudig. En het is eenvoudig, maar het is groot. Want wat doen die wiel? Hy bestuur, hy wys die rigting aan. And so it cuts deeper than that, but it's true. We say this morning, Lord, take the wheel, take control of my life. I surrender my life. And then the last thing I want to say this morning is that we will understand to who we are giving over control. We are giving control of our life to the one who loves us. He has demonstrated his love towards us. He's the faithful one, the true one. He's a good God. He's for us. When we give control over, it's to the Lord, to the one who is for us, to the one who has a hope and a future, who has plans for our lives. So this morning, I want us to just close our eyes and for a moment, I want us to just allow God to bring up what he's speaking to you and me this morning. And if you are willing, and it doesn't mean you gaan weer doen nie. If you are willing to give over control of your life in a greater measure, at least, maybe is miskien is dit 'n area wat jy mee sukkel om beheer oor te gee. Jy doen goed in die ander areas of maar dis daai een ding wat jy voel jy hy kan nie beheer oorgee nie. Wil ek net bid vir jou vanmôre. Because when we see God and when we see the one who we are giving over control, I think that is the moment that we can start to embrace the cross. Otherwise it doesn't make sense om hierdie kruis te omhels en dit amper te willingly te wil aanvaar nie. But when we meditate and understand the goodness and who God is and his character, then we will gladly start to embrace it. Gladly say, Lord, I say no to my kingdom and my will. Lord, that your kingdom come and that your will be done in my workplace, in my family, in this town, in this valley, in this nation. Lord, that your kingdom come. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be lifted up high. This, in essence, is becoming the vessel that he wants to use for his kingdom. So I'm going to pray for you and for me. So Father, I thank you for moments like these, God, where your word cuts and it brings separation between the thoughts and the emotions that we thought beforehand. And it just sets down the truth, God, of what you are saying in this season and right now for us, God, that it is a time where you want to send us out as laborers, Father, into your harvest field to be sent once, to be disciples, Lord. But that requires that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. God, and when we look at that, it seems like a tall order, God, only in our own eyes, through our own eyes and our own abilities. God, but when we look to the ability of Jesus and the grace, the empowerment that has been made available for us, Lord, it's not difficult. It's not burdensome, Lord. It is very possible. It's very possible. So Lord, I want to remove that from us this morning. It says it cannot be done. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I say, Lord, I thank you. If you say you require this from us, you will enable us. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that there will be a grace upon us, Lord, to moment by moment, day by day, even if it's gradually, just say, Lord, take over this in my life. Take over that in my life. Lord, take control. I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender to your will and your ways, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you've done this morning. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that you are here. Thank you for your presence, God. Father, I pray for that eternal perspective, Lord. I pray that you open our eyes to see what's really going on. That we'll see things as you see them, Lord. That we'll call things as you call them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one that is here. I pray, Father, for a fire, a flame in their hearts, Lord. Oh, a fire for more of God, to go deeper, to desire you in a greater way, Lord. To hunger and thirst for the living God. Thank you for the time that we are living in. Thank you that you've made a way for us. Open up the way.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.